You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA and CFP, and accredited estate planner as well, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen each and every week online at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is April 17th, 2013. Tax season is over. We are talking about the ripple effect in your financial life tonight. What are we talking about? The ripple effect in your financial life. So I know it's a beautiful evening, folks, but it's worthwhile staying tuned, listening, paying attention, especially after you've been through tax season, have your tax return done. Don't put that tax return away. Let's stop and look at it for a little bit and think about how it might help us and answer questions and make sure that we're taking care of business. We want to be proactive in our financial life, not reactive. So we're going to talk about the ripple effect in your financial life. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 14,618, the NASDAQ at 3204, and the S&P closed at 1552. Again, I'm happy to have you all here, especially on this gorgeous evening. I hope you're listening while you're driving home. Last week, I had attorneys Nancy Wallach and Abel Iacobelli. They were here to discuss a green divorce, and it's about moving forward. Think green light, moving forward and resolving issues fairly and equitably as much as possible in divorce. I thank them for being here, a class act. I appreciate them taking the time to come on. And that was Nancy Wallach and Abel Iacobelli. Tonight, I am on my own and discussing the aftermath of tax season. It was a rough one. So I want to talk about some takeaways from the season and then again, what we can learn to apply to our own financial life to be proactive in decision making and discussing the ripple effect of those decisions. We have a new assistant with us in the studio tonight. We have Judy Ann, who's going to be learning the ropes tonight and taking calls. So I certainly hope that we do get some calls. And it would be a great night to call if you have questions about, you know, financial planning in particular, since that's what we're talking about, which could include anything. It could include your retirement plans, retirement questions, estate planning, income tax planning, insurance, taking care of your families, cash flow, budgets. We'll see what we can cover. So if you have questions, things that have kind of been concerning you, you can call and talk live on air with me or give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. She will also, if you are calling live on air, she will ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And I do need some volunteers to call in so we can test out the phone system with Judy Ann. I would appreciate it, especially my regular callers. Just call in and say hi or give us some ideas of topics for upcoming shows. I'm always happy to entertain ideas from the listening audience as to what you are interested in hearing about in your financial choices. Okay, 610-758-8810. So the ripple effect, what do we mean by that? The ripple effect in your financial life from the decisions that you make or the decisions that you don't make. So we sometimes see the ripple effect when we complete our tax return and we see that we owe money and we didn't expect to owe. So there was some decision maybe that we made during the year that as time passes, so does our memory of that event. And then we get surprises when we go to file the tax returns. We forget that we needed money and we took out extra money from our IRA and maybe we didn't have withholdings, or we forget that we had to sell some of our investments to meet cash needs. And the ripple effect I'm talking about is that decision that we made, maybe in the moment, maybe in a panic, maybe being reactive to some other situation in our life, that decision has an impact on other aspects of our financial life. So we have to pay attention. Another effect that could be a smart financial decision, maybe you were someone who refinanced and maybe you got a much better interest rate. And sometimes what people do is they might refinance and they might go from a 30-year mortgage to a 20-year mortgage. And maybe their payment stays the exact same. So your cash flow hasn't changed at all. But because your interest rate went down, you shortened the length of your loan. But something you didn't factor in, possibly, which has a ripple effect, would be that your interest rate went down, you have a smaller mortgage interest deduction on your tax return. If you have smaller deductions, then maybe you have more taxable income, and now all of a sudden you owe more money, and you weren't ready for that. You hadn't thought that through. So sometimes even our good, smart decisions in our financial planning may have an effect that we hadn't anticipated that could then cause maybe a negative impact, like now we have to write a check for $2,000 because we didn't realize our deductions were going down. So ripple effects. We have to pay attention to the decisions that we're making and the impact that they're going to have. So other ideas in, you know, thinking about ripple effects in the big scheme of financial planning, different categories of your financial life, like maybe your employment, maybe you changed jobs. When you changed jobs, did you have moving expenses? Did you maybe change employer benefits so that you moved from one employer that might have had a 401k to a new employer that maybe you can't participate right away in that 401k? So a ripple effect of that would be, all of a sudden, maybe you had some tax deferred money and now I'm with a new employer and I can't defer it. So what is that going to do to my income taxes? But also, what is it going to do to my retirement savings? If I'm not eligible to participate in a retirement plan, is that keeping me from building up my retirement nest egg? And what are my options? So what would the ripple effect of that be? We have to think these things through. Retirement planning. Are you on track to meet your goals? Are you planning to retire in the next 10 years? Well, the decisions that you're making today are going to impact the ability that you will have to do that. Education planning, starting to save today. College costs are can be exorbitant if you don't have financial aid or your children aren't getting scholarships. At what point do you start thinking about saving for that? Over time, the saving of over, 18 years is a completely different kind of process than someone who says, I'm just going to wait and figure it out when my child is going to college. It might be less painful for you if you start when your children are babies and you're putting, $100 a month into a college savings plan, and doing that for 18 years can make quite an impact, and it might be simple, like a little pebble in a pond of water, a very simple, small, little act that you're doing that can have long range and a big impact when it comes time to, pay for college 18 years later, compared to someone who does nothing. And then all of a sudden your child's going to school, you have to write that check, or you're having to take out loans, and maybe now you're in a pickle because interest rates aren't what they used to be. Maybe, you know, today we're in a low interest rate environment, but not necessarily for student loans. And if you don't plan well, all of a sudden you're reacting to your financial decisions instead of being proactive and participating. So tonight we're just going to talk about some of those aspects of financial planning, how we can be more proactive than reactive, and some of the more interesting areas of financial planning that I find. So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is proud to partner with this year's Spring on 4th, What's on 3rd Chili Tasting and Street Festival held in the heart of Bethlehem's South Side on April 20th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Activities for the whole family with over 30 participating merchants and organizations, sidewalk sales, taste a variety of chili, and vote for your favorites. Chili Tasting passports available only online at downtownbethlehemassociation.com.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you are listening to Your Financial Choices. We are live tonight in the studio taking your calls, available to take your calls. The phone number is 610-758-8810 if you have questions regarding financial planning. We're just coming off tax season, and I called it the aftermath of tax season, and what takeaways we have from that. And one of the big takeaways I would like to share with everyone is about engaging more in your financial decisions and being more aware of what you have in your financial life and how those decisions impact your financial life. We see a lot of the consequences of not really paying attention sometimes when we have tax returns and clients who maybe all of a sudden have, you know, a big tax due and they weren't prepared for it and they don't understand why. Or in some cases, there are clients who maybe have a big, huge refund and they didn't understand why either. And maybe, again, it could be just that their situation changed from one year to the next and they didn't adjust for it or plan for it. Sometimes in a prior year, you might have owed a lot of money because you maybe sold some investments. If you don't anticipate that you're going to have that situation again in the subsequent year, you can plan your estimated tax payments or your withholdings around that so that you're not overpaying in to the next year. And that would be a good financial planning opportunity for you to make sure that you're managing your cash flow properly. And by anticipating that knowing you're not going to owe that much more money, or vice versa, if you expect that you're going to owe a lot of money and you didn't plan for it. I hear this all the time where people forget that they take money out of their IRAs. You know, they had something come up and they sold a car or had to buy a car and they needed money, and they call their advisor and they take the money out of the IRA and they forget. And it's interesting to me as well that how many people don't realize the different characters of income that they have, that when they're pulling money from their accounts, they're not always aware of that they're pulling money from a retirement account or pulling money from a brokerage account, like a brokerage account being like an individual account or a joint account with a spouse. And the individual account and a joint account has a very different tax consequence than an IRA. And so it's amazing to me that sometimes people don't realize the character of the income that they're taking out of their investments. People who have annuities take money out of their annuities and they don't realize the tax consequences of annuities. If you have a non-qualified annuity, meaning it's not in an IRA, and you take money out of it, if you have not recovered your original investment in that contract, the income generally will come out first. I'm talking about folks who have not annuitized, or it's not like a really, really old annuity. If they've done it for investments, that money comes out first and it could end up being all taxable. So you make an investment in an annuity, and if the earnings exceed the investment in the contract and you take out money to the extent of earnings, it's all going to come out income taxable. And that's ordinary income, and that gets taxed very differently. So if you're not aware of these decisions that you're making as you're going through it, you're going to be hit with possibly tax consequences that you didn't plan for. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be hit with another, you know, reactionary tactic of having to now take money out of those same kinds of investments in order to pay the income tax. I've seen this happen. So we're talking tonight about trying to understand the ripple effect of your decisions. And it's not always about income tax either. We can talk a little bit about the ripple effect of decisions in waiting to put money into retirement accounts. I'll talk about that in a minute as well. I know it's a gorgeous evening, folks. It's a beautiful night. You're probably all enjoying it. We hope that people call in. We do have a call from Frank. It's off air, Jeff, so don't worry about that. But Judy Ann is in the studio tonight learning how to run the telephone board. So we would appreciate it if you call in with questions so we can practice. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And Frank called from Salisbury and he said he had to file an extension on his TurboTax 2012 return. It was rejected due to incorrect PIN. Now what? Now, Frank, you might be able to resubmit it. I hope you're still listening. You might be able to resubmit this. If you use TurboTax in 2011, you want to go and see what PIN you might have set up for the return. And that PIN would be specific to your Social Security number that you used in filing. And you should have set up that PIN in the prior year. I don't recall with TurboTax if you would have, if that would be masked, meaning that you can't see it if you go back into your prior year return. But you want to make sure or see if that's the if that's what it's talking about, like your personal PIN. Usually you can do that, I think, by also checking the tax due. And I think you sometimes have to enter your birth date. You might want to call TurboTax support group and ask them to kind of walk you through that. I am guessing that that could be the situation, that maybe you didn't enter some prior year information correctly. I think sometimes it'll ask you somewhere in the software what was either your last year's filing status or tax due or something to that effect. So I think this is resolvable. I think you should be able to resubmit the return, the extension. Usually the IRS, when they see that someone has tried to electronically submit an extension, it might first get rejected, and then you usually have X number of days to try to resubmit it again. So get that cleared up with the PIN. Call TurboTax if you have to, but I do believe it hinges on prior year information that you possibly would have had to have inputted. Go on the help on the software if you want to try that first and type in, you know, incorrect PIN, and maybe you'll get a help menu that will help you walk through that as well. But I think you should be able to resubmit it as well. And if that doesn't work, what I would suggest is printing off the page showing that it was rejected, and then actually filling out a paper 4868. Today's the 17th. I know that the IRS and Pennsylvania were backed up on accepting extensions. So you probably could still get one in the mail today, photocopy the copy of the page that said your extension was rejected. They'll see that you attempted to do it timely, and I think that they should accept it. I've had this situation happen in the past, so I hope that works for you. Thank you for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. It's always a more interesting show when we have questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We're talking about the ripple effect of your financial decisions and how they impact your financial life. And in fact, we'll talk a little bit about financial planning in general and some of the items that you should pay attention to in your financial planning and being aware of them so that you can make good decisions. Things like you know, what are your goals? Is there a goal that you have for yourself, like that you want to retire? It helps if you have goals to then make the right decisions toward those goals. If you don't have anything written down and you're just kind of going willy-nilly, it's a little bit harder to reach goals and feel successful in the decisions that you're making. I think, traditionally I kind of grew up very easygoing, kind of, come what may type of thing. But I realized even through this past tax season, I was setting goals, and I was setting realistic goals and goals that I hoped I would get. And it just made such a difference in empowering you, making you feel good that you're taking action and moving toward being successful. So we'll talk a little bit more about financial planning when we come back after the break. 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Folks, if you are just tuning in, we are live this evening. We're talking about the ripple effect in financial planning, and we'll start talking about financial planning shortly. If you have questions and follow-up questions to tax season, I'm happy to take them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We have Judy Ann in the studio this evening learning to answer the calls. So we need some practice. So if you have questions, jump in and help us out. This is a volunteer organization here at WDIY. We have lots of volunteers, and our listeners need to participate in that as well. We do have our pledge drive, I think, coming up. Is it next week?
Next week.
Okay, if we raise $891 by Thursday, I think by tomorrow at a certain time, then we will have a pledge-free weekend. So we can continue with programming and music and all that we bring to you on the weekend if we raise another $891 by tomorrow. So folks could probably go to the website. I don't know if we have anyone here to take those calls this evening to take pledges, but you can certainly go to the website at wdiy.org to make your pledges prior to the weekend, hopefully tomorrow, so that we can have a pledge-free weekend. And regardless, we will be here next Wednesday with the pledge drive, so I'll be here helping with that as well. We had a caller call in. Thank you, Jim, by the way. Jim from Easton called in. Yay. Judy Ann's getting lots of experience tonight. Jim called in and he said the 2012 state taxes taken out for New Jersey and Pennsylvania by employer, but gross income is not correct. Is it possible when the two are added up that they don't match? Jim from Easton, here's what you have to do, because when we say gross income, I'm not exactly sure. Here's how it works in Pennsylvania, Jim. If you take your W-2, and this ends up actually being kind of fun. If you, I'm sick. I actually shouldn't say that. I don't know. I'm hallucinating. After tax season, this is fun. You take your W-2 and you look at your Medicare wages. And for Pennsylvania, typically Medicare wages equal your Pennsylvania wages less Code C, which is imputed income on life insurance. And there's a couple other adjustments, but typically Pennsylvania equals Medicare wages. Now, you said state taxes taken out for New Jersey and Pennsylvania by employer. So what I don't know exactly is if you are a Pennsylvania resident who works in New Jersey with a New Jersey employer. Typically, New Jersey and Pennsylvania are reciprocal states, so that if you're a Pennsylvania resident and you work in New Jersey, your New Jersey employer should be withholding your Pennsylvania tax for you. If you're a New Jersey resident with a Pennsylvania employer, the same holds true, and they should withhold it properly. So what you see is the Medicare wages for Pennsylvania is typically the Pennsylvania wages with some adjustments, code C for imputed life in life insurance. If you have dependent care benefits in box 10, that is something that Pennsylvania does not give you a deduction for. So I'm trying to give you some idea of, Jim, why your wages might look a little different. Maybe they're correct. They just look wrong to you because you can't tie into them. Your federal wages are your Medicare wages less your 401k contributions, which are code D typically. Box 12D or 401k contributions. So let's pretend you make $50,000 a year and you put $5,000 into a 401k. Well, your Medicare wages would be $50,000. Your box 12D would be $5,000. That's your 401k. Your federal wages would be $45,000. Your Pennsylvania wages would be $50,000. And that's typical for New Jersey as well. So there are a number of different ways to get at those wages. Sometimes if you look at your last pay stub for the year, it will kind of give you an idea of what how to match those up. Now, is it you had said, is it possible when the two are added up that they don't match? If you're telling me you had both New Jersey and Pennsylvania wages on the same W-2, then yes, because New Jersey might factor in other adjustments that Pennsylvania doesn't. So we really would have to look at your W-2 because there's just probably too many iterations that could happen here that I might not be able to cover. So your pay stub might give you a better indication. But your federal wages and your Medicare wages and your state wages don't always match up. That is true. You just have to look for those different adjustments. Pennsylvania actually has, if you go to their website, a W-2 reconciliation worksheet where it starts with, it has three columns where it talks about your federal wages, your Medicare wages, and maybe it's just those two columns. And it will go down those columns and show you how to kind of do the adjustments to come to the state wages. So if you have the time and you want to do that, that is one way to do it as well. So I hope that helped a little bit, Jim. They're not always going to add up exactly. Different states do different adjustments and allow different deductions and tax different. Okay, we did have another call come in, but the call was lost. So we ask you to please try again. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. We love the calls. It's a great night, and it's kind of a quiet night. We get to talk about financial planning and taxes and whatever interests you this evening. So if you have questions, you're welcome to give us a call, 610-758-8810. Financial planning for people, I think, can be and mean different things. I am surprised that so many people think that financial planning is like all about their investments. I just was speaking with a young person this evening and they said, oh yes, I know financial planning. You have to do asset allocation and rebalance your portfolio. And I smiled and said, yes, of course, that is part of financial planning. But we also have to look at financial planning as far as what's happening in your retirement. What are you doing for retirement? Are you saving for retirement? What does your insurance look like? Do you have your risks covered? Estate planning. Do we have estate planning documents? And have we considered the tax consequences on the investment decisions that we make? So back to the beginning of the show when I talked about the ripple effect. The ripple effect of how one area of our financial life affects another area of our financial life. It's not just about the investments, folks. It really isn't. I'm telling you that we can have some very, very big decisions that have very big impacts on your financial life that might have nothing to do with your investments. It might have to do with your cash flow, how you're taking money out of your accounts. It's not necessarily all about your investments or what investments you're choosing. It could be about the timing of when you
take money out, the timing of when you decide to sell something or buy something. And it's important. It's an important impact. So we're going to talk a little bit more about financial planning when we come back from this next break. Love the calls. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we can go live or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Okay, and we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I'm a CPA and a CFP. We are listening live. You can call in with questions this evening. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We are having our pledge drive next week, and we are having a pledge buyback. If the studio raises $891 by tomorrow, then we will have a pledge-free weekend. And that will be nice for everyone. So if you are inclined, you can go to the website at wdiy.org and make your pledge. And if not, I hope to have you all here next week and contributing during the show. I usually do a little incentive, a matching. So I hope that folks are going to listen next week. We are talking about financial planning, the ripple effect of your financial planning choices. We just came off tax season. I was discussing sometimes the impact and the consequences that I see on a tax return from people's financial decisions, people who forget that they took money out of their IRAs, people who, you know, sold assets and didn't realize they had big gains, people who sold assets and didn't keep track of their cost basis and they have no idea. They get their brokerage statement and they say zero cost basis. Well, folks, if you are someone who sold investments this year and you don't review your statements, the ripple effect of that is you may be losing out on, you know, losses that you may have had. Brokerage firms don't always have your cost basis. There is certainly a requirement now that they track cost basis for mutual funds and stock that you buy, but in the past, there was not that requirement. So many brokers, brokerage firms, custodians that you have invested with may have your cost basis and may report that to you. And sometimes it's as supplemental information. They may not be reporting it to the IRS if you purchased it, you know, in 2010 or prior. So they may not be reporting that information to the IRS. But it could be mixed in now with information that they are reporting to the IRS. So here's one piece where we talk about people paying attention or not paying attention. If you're not paying attention to what is listed on those statements as far as your cost basis, you may be missing out on putting cost basis for assets that you had and sold, because sometimes brokers actually don't have your cost basis information. Let's pretend you transferred it from one firm to another, and that prior firm back in the day wasn't required to transfer that cost basis, and you might not have it. So if you're not paying attention and maybe you're importing that information into a software program, or maybe you're giving your brokerage statement to a tax preparer and they just kind of, you know, used all the totals, you want to make sure that you have looked at that. And now that you have time, the franticness of tax season is over. We said, you know, when I had Sherry Free on the show a couple of weeks ago, we said, don't put your tax return away. Look through your tax return, review it, spend some time kind of getting to know yourself and the decisions you made during the year. Were they good decisions? But one of the items to do is also look at your backup, the backup paperwork that you had that you provided to your tax preparer or that you used in preparing your own tax return, look through those statements and see if you had any missing cost basis information. You know, for people who had, I believe it was Merck in the day, and Merck spun off a company called Medco, and then Medco merged with Express Scripts. There was a lot of activity in that transaction this year, and there was a lot of varied tax reporting that had to be done with that. If you weren't paying attention, you might have missed it. And for people who retained the Express Scripts, one of the things that happens is some of that cost basis from the Medco now transfers over to the Express Scripts. This is just an example, but your broker may not have that information because they may never have had that information when it was Medco. If, number one, you never gave it to them or you never calculated it when it was spun off from Merck. These are the kinds of little details you need to pay attention to in your financial life because they affect, you know, taxation and how you have gains and losses on your investments. And you may be missing out if you haven't captured all of that cost basis information on an investment. So that's an area in your investment life that could have a ripple effect if you're not paying attention. It could mean smaller gains or bigger losses, whatever might have happened. So you've got to pay attention. The phone number this evening, folks, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Happy to take your questions regarding financial planning, retirement planning, estate planning, income tax planning, how you can use your tax return from this prior year to make better decisions this year. In particular, for people who may be subject to the Medicare surtax, you've got to keep that at the top of your mind. If you're making over $250,000 a year, you may be subject to some Medicare surtax rules. So, pay attention to that as well. And I'll talk more about that as we go through the next several weeks. So when we talk about financial planning, recall that I said some people think financial planning is all about the investment. And I'd like to caution people to think beyond that, that it is more than that. Some people think financial planning is for rich people. Wrong. It's for anybody. The better decisions that you make today, the better financial choices you have, the better you can reach your goals. And typically those goals, you know, everybody wants to retire at some point, right? You don't want to work your entire life. Well, in order to, you know, get to that goal and a little sooner, you actually kind of have to start visualizing it, monetizing it, putting dates on it so that you have something you're working toward. It's like when you're driving a car down the street and, you know, it's at night and the bright lights are coming at you, and to avoid going toward the bright lights on the other side of the highway, you kind of look to the right and watch that white line on the right side of the road. You go toward where your eyes are looking. So you have to have something visualized. You have to have something written down. You have to have a plan to move toward so that you can be proactive and make good decisions. And you know, I think I've said it on the show before, people who pay attention to the details, people who have budgets, people who know how they're spending their money, those are the people who have money. And that can be someone who makes, you know, $15,000 a year, and that can be someone who makes $2 million a year. People who are paying attention to what they have and how they're spending it are the people who can be successful. And being successful doesn't mean being rich. Successful means you're managing with what you have and making good decisions. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we are live. You can talk live on air asking questions or off air, whatever works for you. Financial planning, you know, I'm a CFP, a certified financial planner. Obviously, I believe in the tenets of financial planning. And when we talk about working with a financial planner, we're talking about someone who helps individuals, you know, hopefully realize their goals. And how they do that is getting to know the client. Financial planning is a process of fact finding, meaning lots of questions get asked. And I think sometimes people aren't always comfortable with that. I think you have to understand that it's not like judgments that are being made. It's about getting to know people. There isn't an expectation that folks come in and they have to know everything, or that you come in and you're expected to have X number of dollars saved, and or you're going to be judged or something. Anyone who's taking a proactive approach to their financial life, making a decision to do things, you know, in a more engaged way, you should be applauded and embraced for taking action and trying to make good financial decisions. So by talking to a financial planner, they help raise questions that maybe you didn't think about, because, you know, you might be a scientist, you might be a teacher, someone who works for the city. It might not be your job to know how all the pieces of your financial life fit together. So there are people out there who help that, and people who will ask you questions to kind of generate the ideas that you need in order to make the decisions that you have in front of you, as far as, okay, have you, when we're doing fact finding, okay, do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney? Do you have health directives? Do you have life insurance? Do you have health insurance? Do you have homeowners insurance and auto insurance? Do you have a 401k? Are you investing in it? What are your investment options? Are you doing it into a tax-deferred 401k piece of your plan, or do you have a Roth 401k option? So that fact-finding will ask lots of questions. Do you have a budget? Do you keep a budget? Okay, maybe you don't keep a budget. Do you know how much you're spending? Do you have credit card debt? Then we know you're spending more than you have. Then you need a little bit extra attention, possibly. So there's fact-finding that's done, data gathering. Let's look at the, you know, assets. Let's look at the liabilities. Let's do an analysis here. What does the cash flow look like? If we project these numbers out, where is this person in meeting this their goals? Do they have to work longer? Do they maybe get to retire sooner? Are their investment objectives consistent with their risk tolerance? So the questions that get asked in financial planning are an attempt to try to address all of these various items that I say cause these ripple effects, so that if you can get your arms around all the different pieces of your financial life, you know, your cash flow and how that would impact, you know, tax decisions in your retirement savings, your decisions in your investments, how they affect taxation and cash flow. So a financial planner will look at all of these different pieces and kind of see how they all fit together and if you're on track for meeting your goals. Now, what kind of goals do you have? Well, that's where you do sometimes have to do some brainstorming with a spouse or with your advisor to say, well, I'm not sure what my goals are. Is it realistic to think that I could retire at 65? Or is it realistic to think that I could retire at 55? Well, maybe it depends on what you want to do when you retire. So then we have to talk about that. Do you plan to travel? Do you plan to say, no, I'm going to stay home? I'm just looking forward to hanging out with the grandkids and fishing once in a while. And, you know, not renting a big schooner and going out on the ocean to fish, but, you know, fishing at, you know, the little park or something like that. So having an idea of what those goals are will help drive the decisions that you're making today, so that you can put yourself in a good position for retiring and meeting those goals. So we talked about some of the different areas of financial planning that you could look at and that have a ripple effect. And let me just go over those one more time. So we have cash flow. That's your budget. Again, some people are so afraid about budgets that they don't do anything. I think you need to stop yourself and get over that already and say, you know what, I'm not good at budgeting, but it doesn't mean I can't do other smart financial planning. You know, if you know that you're not spending more than you're making, well, then that is kind of a budget, isn't it? If you're spending way more than you're making, then obviously you don't have a budget and you need to get a grip on things. So in some respects, if you say, you know, am able to put money into my retirement account and still have an extra $100 I put in the bank each month, but I don't have a budget. Again, you might have a budget because you know that you're saving $100 a month. You're aware. So don't let that keep you from doing good planning in other areas of your life. It's just, can there be something more that you could do? So we have cash flow. We'll talk about the rest when we come back from the break. I realize I'm bumping up against that. If you have questions, we still have time, and Judy Ann is still learning, so we'd appreciate any calls. You could be live on air or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and music diversity. Folks, the time now is 6:45 p.m. Now back to our program.
Okay, we are back. Thank you, Jeff. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You know, the beautiful thing about just being done with tax season is that, well, I'm not working 15 hours a day anymore, but the other beautiful thing about tax season is that beautiful tax return that has so much information on it. One of the things in financial planning is taxes, and also being aware of what you have. So financial planning, let's talk about the other areas. I just said cash flow, budget. Part of the cash flow and budget is knowing what your assets are, because you need to know where that cash flow is coming from. So assets could be your bank accounts, your investment accounts, retirement accounts, your home, if you're a homeowner. So your assets. Then we also have to look at your liabilities, and we need to know, do you have mortgages? Do you have fixed expenses? Do you have student loans? Do you have credit card payments, car loans, that type of thing? So it's a balance sheet, basically, and that balance sheet says, here are my assets, here are my liabilities, and, you know, do I have anything left over? So when we look at cash flow and budgeting, we need to know what commitments do we have. If you have a mortgage, that's a fixed expense that is non-discretionary. You have no discretion in that. You have to make those payments on those loans, on credit cards, autos, homeowner homes. So that's part of being able to capture your cash flow items, looking at your assets and liabilities. So cash flow. Then your taxes, we like to know what kind of tax management we can do when we're looking at someone's financial plan. We want to look to see if they have more ordinary income coming off their investments, meaning interest, rather than dividends that might qualify for a lower tax rate, or capital gains that might qualify for a lower tax rate. Is there an opportunity to defer income in some way? Defer income through a 401k or through deferred compensation? Can we put money into Roth IRAs? Those are great vehicles. Do we have the opportunity to do that? So we're looking at your cash flow, what we can do with it, how the decisions we're making with your cash flow affect your income tax return, how they also then affect your investments and your ability to accumulate assets that you then get cash flow from. See, all works together. And then we're looking at your retirement accounts. Are you deferring money? That might be saving on your income taxes, but you're also saving for your future retirement goals. But it also affects your cash flow, because if you're putting money in your retirement accounts, then you might not have the cash flow you need to meet your expenses. I've seen that mistake several times, where people are putting money into retirement accounts, but then they're taking it out and with a penalty in taxes after they just put it in, because they needed money to pay a bill or to pay a student tuition bill or something. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there, and maybe not an understanding of financial planning and those kinds of decisions. So that's why we talk about awareness and making sure that we kind of know how all the pieces fit together. So in financial planning, we talked about just now, I'm going to recap, cash flow. We talked about taxes. We talked about retirement accounts. We talked about your investments. We need to talk about risk management. While you're going through life, living your life, don't forget that there are always circumstances that may be out of our control. That's called risk management. So if there may be circumstances that are out of our control, you know, unfortunately, we have events that happen like that every day. We see it in the news, things that are out of our control that we need to plan for. And it sounds a little bit morbid, maybe, but it's part of life. So that's what risk management is. That's what insurance is. Do you have adequate insurance for your house? I mean, you know, your house could have an electrical fire. Something could happen. You could go into a sinkhole. Someone could crash their car into it. I mean, it's the craziness. And when we have insurance that collectively, because insurance is kind of like a group thing, we lower our premiums to cover risks that are maybe rare but do happen. We want to make sure that we have coverage for these unplanned events. So that occurs in our life with our assets for our house and our cars, but are we also thinking about the asset of ourselves, our health, our jobs? So when we are sitting here buying insurance for our home and our car, did we think about whether or not we got disability insurance? What if something happens to us at work? What if something happens to us when we're not at work that affects our work, that we can't work? That's called disability insurance. And sometimes there's short-term disability and there's long-term disability. My brother-in-law right now, 52 years old, there's having a health issue. He lives out in Washington. The doctors are completely stumped. This is a young, vibrant man, completely healthy, and over the past course of several months started having, you know, electrical circuitry go wrong or something. They cannot figure out what is wrong. And he's had to take a leave because he was having dizzy spells and all kinds of crazy things happening to them, and the doctors cannot figure it out. He luckily has had some disability. He had short-term disability, and then will probably move into long-term disability, things that you think could never happen to you. So that's what risk management is. You want to make sure that you're not just looking at protecting your physical material assets, but you also want to make sure that you're ensuring and taking care of the risks of your health and your person. So we talk about disability insurance, health insurance, of course, life insurance. What if we have family members, spouses, children who are relying on our income to pay bills, to put the roof over our head, to put the, you know, car on the street, to get us to school and the places that we need to get, and something happens to the breadwinner? Life insurance helps guard against and protect our loved ones who are survivors, who may have been relying on our income stream that would no longer be available. That's what life insurance is for. Maybe you have a mortgage or tuition that you have to pay for your children. So life insurance will cover that. That's risk management. And then, of course, estate planning. And before I wrap up, I don't know if we have time for any more questions, but the phone number is 610-758-8810. I get involved in what I'm saying sometimes and forget to say the number, 610-758-8810. I'll wrap up here on my segment about the ripple effect of financial planning, ending with estate planning. When we look at our financial lives and making sure that we're taking care of every aspect of it, I like folks to be proactive. It's not about being negative and thinking about all the, you know, the consequences of what can happen, but it's anticipating things that can happen and then being smart in our decisions. And it's such a relief to the loved ones around us to make sure that we have thought these things through, because I'm telling you, when there's a death in the family, especially if it's a unexpected death or consequence, it's a very tragic and and horrible emotional time for the survivors. So, you know, the best gift you can give your family is to make sure that you've done your estate planning when you're healthy, when you're well, when you're of sound mind, etc., and you make plans for, you know, a will, a power of attorney, a living will, health directives, when you can make those good decisions. And it's not difficult. Some people, I think it's difficult. Some people think it's expensive. Well, it could be more expensive if you don't do the planning. So try to, you know, meet with an attorney, get your estate planning documents done, and align it with your assets and what you have as far as account titling, beneficiary designations. So if you have a will and you're leaving everything to your spouse, and then if your spouse doesn't survive, then everything to your children, you want to make sure that your mother is not the beneficiary on your life insurance policy, or your brother is, and because you set it up 20 years ago and you haven't changed it since. We see this happen all the time on you know, people as they make decisions when they're young and they don't have families yet, and they just never get around to changing those beneficiary designations, you know, to coincide with the changes in their life. So you want to make sure that you kind of do an inventory of that from time to time, review your assets, review your liabilities, review your beneficiary designations on those assets. And we're typically talking about retirement accounts, and maybe education accounts and life insurance policies. So you want to, and maybe annuities if you have that, pensions, that type of thing. You want to make sure that you have your primary beneficiary listed, but also pay attention to something called a contingent beneficiary, because sometimes what happens, you might be with your spouse when you're, you know, vacationing or traveling, and if something happens to both of you, then, and you have not listed a contingent beneficiary on your documents, on your life insurance or on your retirement accounts, then they may default, not always, but they may default to your estate, and that may end up having significant income tax consequences. So when we talk about, again, the ripple effect of our decisions, or the ripple effect of us not making decisions, we don't want to deal with those consequences. So if I have a $200,000 401k and my spouse is my beneficiary and we both travel somewhere, unfortunate accident, we both die. If I have no contingent beneficiary, then sometimes what happens is there will be a default beneficiary. And if the default beneficiary is my estate instead of my three children, then that could cause very severe income tax consequences that I otherwise could have avoided if I had just taken that extra step to review my documents and fill in one extra little line with contingent beneficiaries. So you really don't want to put yourself in that situation, or put your loved ones in that situation, your survivors in that situation, of you not being engaged and aware of the decisions that you can be making in your financial life. All right. So I hope that kind of gave an overview of financial planning, and hopefully the impact of how one decision can affect another in your financial life. For regular listeners, I do this from time to time. I don't always want to assume that everybody gets to listen each and every week. I know on beautiful nights like tonight, you may have found other things to do, but we certainly hope that you pick up these shows. So we try to repeat them once in a while. We do always ask if you have any ideas for shows that you want me to discuss, topics you want me to discuss. You're welcome to go to the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Send us an idea there. I think there's a link to contact us and send us your ideas. I'm happy to follow up. In fact, I sometimes get great ideas on topics that I'm not as familiar with, and it gives me an opportunity to really kind of learn a lot, and then I get to share that with you. So if there's something that you're curious about and find interesting, I'm happy to look it up, research it, and talk about it if I haven't already or have not shared that in information before. I want to thank Judy Ann for being here tonight. I want to thank, good job, Judy Ann, and thank Neil for helping out with that. Jeff, thank you for being here each and every week. Thanks for the gum. And I want to thank the listeners for calling in tonight. Jim and Frank, it was great. I appreciate the calls and the practice that we got. And next week, I am going to talk about, retirement planning, retirement accounts next week. So I will talk about retirement planning along with the pledge drive next week. So thank you, everyone. Be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Stay tuned for Tom Druckenmiller with Intertradition coming up next. Thanks. Have a great week.